演奏の中でもう常に
I had decided before that the first bite would be the buttocks。I was able to cut through the skin. I'm a fool, so I didn't have a clue about human body structure. I thought the red flesh would appear straight away, but it wasn't like that. And this layer that was like sweet corn just carried on for ages, however deep I cut through. I couldn't reach with my knife, so I whipped out the flesh with my fingers and put it in my mouth.After I had sex with her, I tried to kiss her. For the first time, I said out loud, I love you in French, and I felt a huge shiver.
Hi guys, and welcome to a very, very, very late as fuck episode of Activate the Amygdala. I've been pretty much in a hiatus of, not that I didn't have inspiration to do this, but just of everything that's been going on has been extremely depressing and just all around just crap. I just miss doing this so much. And every time I looked at my microphone, I was like, I'm going to do it this day. But then the news has just been crappy. I mean, it's not much of an excuse, to be honest. But I am pretty much over this bullshit. So let's talk about some crazy shit now. Anyways, so today we are going to talk about... I was actually on YouTube and I was watching this... Well, I was going through my YouTube channel and I was going through my related videos, and at that moment I kept always getting recommended this one video from a documentary from Vice. And at that point I was like, nah, fuck it, why am I gonna watch this one? It's about a cannibal. But I was like, you know, it's all right. It's like probably some Jeffrey Dahmer shit, like blah 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 blah, which I'm just so over it. Like, okay, whatever, human flesh, just season that shit up, whatever. But anyways, at that point I was watching a bunch of crazy videos. I was trying to get inspiration to get back into this, and at that point I was like, you know what, fuck it, I'm just gonna watch it and see what it is, because it was like 44 minutes. I was like, I got time, you know what, I'm gonna watch this shit. I'm ready to see some fucking nibbled titties or something. Anyways, so I clicked it and the first thing that popped up was confirm your age. At this point I was like, oof, this is what I want. It better be this gruesome if it has a confirmed thing. I mean, some people are kind of like special snowflakes when it comes to this shit too. So I was like, oh god, here we go. Some little bitch can't take blood and she reported it. But I was like, nah, fuck it. You know what? Maybe it's good. And fuck. It was intense. I mean, as in like, you know, not something that I've never seen before. But it was just the amount of detail that this person that I'm gonna go over now. I'm just trying to give my little summary of what the video was about. I'm not gonna, you know, spoil too much, so, because what's the point of talking about this? But anyways, when they were talking about it, this person was just so detailed about everything. Like, just the detail was so... This person just talked about it as if they went to go buy like an ice cream. They were like, oh yeah, I did this and I did this and this, and you know, I got arrested and this and that. And it was just very nonchalant. The bad part about it is that they got treated like a celebrity when it came to this. And at that point, they've made like a manga out of this. They've made comics. They've made just a lot of things that I'm going to go over. And they even showed these pictures, and these pictures were brutal. and I was shook. I also tried to look for the book that this person made, and it's a lot of money. And imagine just in my, I would put it in my coffee table. Just, they would be like, oh, it's a cute manga, but it'd probably be just, it's just pictures of perverted shit. It's just like half chewed ass and this and that. But anyways, let me start this. Let me start this right now. So this person that we're talking about, his name is, and let me, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right. His name is Issei Sagawa. So he was born in Kobe, Hyogo, Japan. And he was born to these rich parents. He was born premature and he was small enough to fit, in his father's hand. He was that tiny. And he had problems when he was born. He had a small digestive tract problem going on, but in the long run, it, after a few infusions of potassium and calcium and saline, you know, he started to be okay. He started to grow up a little better, this and that. So he stands at 4'9", and you know, once you think of like something like, like a crazy serial murderer cannibal, you think of someone 6 foot tall, big, beefy man, woman, whatever, just someone that, you know, they would jump you and just take total control. But 4'9", small little, you know, guy like that, I would have never thought, to be honest, because when they said 1 meter 50 centimeters, I was just like, how big is that? And it was 4'9", so I started laughing, but just the details didn't, you know, stop me laughing at that point. So initially, his first experience feeling this primitive kind of hunger towards this was when he was in like a younger grade, like around, you know, grammar school. And the first experience he had was seeing one of his classmates' thighs. And at this point, he kept saying, like a summary of trying to term of saying, because it was a lot of, it was like a really good interview. And then he was saying that he just started staring at it. He was so enamored by it, and he just wanted to sink his teeth in at that point. And then in 2011, there was the meeting with the Vice interview. Sagawa relieved that as an adolescent, he participated in this savagery of cannibalism and inhumane want for women even more. It was like this drive that he just, especially with, at that point when in his younger years, he was very into Western women. And he kept saying that he loved to see like their thighs, how pale and beautiful and how they would look, and him biting into it. So at 24 in Tokyo, Sagawa followed a tall German lady home, and at that point broke into her condo while she was laying down, with expectations to tear her apart by cutting off pieces of her rear end and slipping endlessly with a little piece of her tissue. She rose and Sagawa claims pushed him to the ground. He was caught by police and accused to endeavored assault. He didn't admit his actual expectation to authorities. Then in 1977, at 27 years old, Sagawa moved to France to seek after a PhD in writing at the Sorbonne in Paris. He said that while dwelling in Paris, he quotes, "Pretty much constantly I would bring a whore home and afterward attempt to shoot them, yet for reasons unknown, my fingers solidified up and I was unable to pull the trigger." And then this is where it gets pretty good and detailed. On June 11th, 1981, Issei Sagawa invited Renee Hartevelt, a 25-year-old Dutch woman, back to his Paris flat for a poetry reading session. They were both students at the Sorbonne University and had been friends for a few months. She was teaching him German. He liked her easy smile and her bubbly personality. In a letter home to her parents in Holland, she wrote that she found him, quote, "friendly and intellectual." So as they were sitting in his living room reading aloud, Sagawa stepped behind her and he pulled out a carbine rifle he had hidden in the chest of drawers that he had. He walked towards her, pointed the gun at the back of her neck, and pulled the trigger. After having intercourse with her dead body, Sagawa began to eat her. And quote, "I wanted to know the taste of human flesh, the young, beautiful girl's flesh," he tells 20 years later over iced coffee in a downtown Tokyo cafe in another interview. He said, quote, "Just one bite of the hips. When you fall in love, you really just want to kiss her. It's just the same. I just wanted to taste her. I'm a cannibal. It's an obsession." So at that point, going back to Hardeveld, he ate part of her thigh, buttock, breast, lips, calves, and some of them were cooked, some of them were raw. After 2 days, he decided to get rid of the body. So he brought 2 suitcases filled with them, with her remains, and called a taxi. Helping to load the suitcase, the taxi driver said how heavy they were. He said, the taxi driver said, quote, "What we got in there? A dead body?" At that point, I think that was the only point in the video that actually did make me laugh. Can you imagine just making that small remark? And he's like, So, anyways, Sagawa's rich dad gave him a legal counselor to his guard in the wake of being held for a long time, anticipating preliminary. Sagawa was found legitimately crazy and ill-suited to stand by the French-appointed authority. Jean-Louis Perjury, who requested him, held him in a psychological institution. After a visit by the creator, Inyoku Yomura, Sakawa's record of kill was distributed in Japan under the title In the Fog. Sagawa's resulting exposure and horrifying big name likely added to the French specialist's choice to oust him in Japan, where he was properly dedicated to Matsuwa Emergency Clinic. Inspecting therapists there all announced him normal and discovered sexual depravity was his sole inspiration for murder. Because charges in France have been dropped, which I don't fucking understand why, the French court records were fixed and were not discharged to Japanese specialists. Therefore, Sagawa couldn't legitimately be kept in Japan. Way to go. He took a look at himself out of the emergency clinic on August 12, 1986. And at this moment, is free as a fucking bird. People are getting fucking arrested for weed for 10 years, 20 years. And this guy eating legit ass and biting off women and shooting them. And he's good. Makes absolutely no sense. So then Sagawa's proceeded with the opportunity. He's been pretty much generally criticized, which I expected. So somewhere beyond the range of 1986 and 1997, he was often as possible welcome to be a visitor, speaker, and commentator. In 1992, he showed up in Hisayasu Sato's abuse film. I don't know how to pronounce this. I'm just going to find the translation. It's called Unfaithful Wife, Shameful Torture, as a sadosexual voyeur. I actually saw some bits and pieces of it. It's really strange. I don't get it. Sagawa has composed books about the homicide he submitted, which is what I wanted to buy as a coffee table book because it's a conversation starter. And the book on the 1997 Kobe murders. He has additionally composed eatery audits for the Japanese magazine, which is hilarious. He's pretty much a food critic. Sagawa can no longer discover distributors for his composition, and he has battled to discover business. He was acknowledged by a French language school in light of the fact that the chief was intrigued by his mental fortitude in utilizing his genuine name. However, workers dissented and he was dismissed. And the most recent things that I got from him, what he's doing now, in 2005, Sagawa's family pretty much kicked the bucket. They don't speak to him. They want nothing to do with him. He was kept from going to any kind of events with them, nothing at all. However, reimbursed their lenders and moved into open funding. He got government assistant benefits for a little bit of time. In meeting with Vice magazine in 2011, he said that being compelled to get by while being known as killer and savage was an awful punishment already. In 2013, he was hospitalized from a cerebral localized necrosis, which for all time harmed his sensory system. Since then, being charged, he has been under the full-time care of his brother. So when I was watching the end of the Vice interview towards like the last 10-15 minutes, when he talks about it and you see him, it's really unbelievable, because you see him as such a small frame, frail man, this older man. He just seems like such a nice guy, like the kind of you would walk in the park kind of thing, but you would never expect that ever. And there was also a part of the Vice interview that he said that he made like these porno videos and weird videos, like I said before. And there was this there was this one part of the interview that he was talking about that he had some sex worker come in, and she didn't even know who he was, nothing, at that point, that he committed these murders, this and that. And you know, the director was like, okay, you guys have to like do it for like 3 times, and then blah 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 blah. So they did it, and it was recorded. And then after all that, he confessed her everything that he's done. Her face was priceless. She didn't believe him at first, but then he showed all the pictures, all the albums. Oh, and also he has throughout the whole interview, all these pictures and all these albums from all these people that he went on vacation with, like some friends that could have possibly been victims at that point. The videos when he chopped up like other women's bodies, parts, chewed up body parts as well, or they will be completely in decomposition. And the albums, pretty much of everything. So at that point, he was showing her the pictures, and she was like, is this real? And he's like, yeah, this is real. Showing the police report, showing this. And at that point, when he was talking about how his favorite part of a woman was the legs, you could see her slowly grabbing the blanket, just covering herself. And after that, she left and she thanked him. They actually became friends, like, not good friends, but they became friends after that, because I saw like other pictures, posts of what that happened. And she's saying that, you know, she can't, you know, if she knew that, she wouldn't have come. I mean, who the fuck would? And just the Vice interview is very interesting. There's other ones, but I think the one with Vice is really, really interesting. It's the real pictures are there and everything. So then towards the end, you could see him saying that, you know, he's not getting business in anything. He's pretty much become a celebrity towards this. I'm not condoning that, you know, he should get fame, or poor him, this and that. No. But he did say that in the apartment that he is now, that they're going to remove him sooner or later, because he's not making money in anything, not even his books, this and that. And that he just prefers to die at this point. He said that his biggest fantasy would be a beautiful woman, you know, murdering him, which is something to think about too. But anyways, that is pretty much the summary of probably the craziest cannibal I've ever read about, besides Catherine Knight, but that's another episode. I have new merch, if you guys want to check that out. I will be announcing everything you can find me on and what my shop would be called, but for now, I'm going to include some of the interview part of it, the translated part, for you guys right here.
Here, the man who became known as the Japanese cannibal spent 48 hours indulging in his lifelong fantasy on a young female victim. Then, on the evening of June the 13th, 1981, the killer emerged. Dragging 2 large suitcases, he hailed a taxi, instructing the driver to take him to a nearby park. The man and his cargo traveled through the city streets undetected. arriving at the Bois de Boulogne, a densely wooded park on the outskirts of Paris. The killer believed this to be the ideal location to hide the evidence of his crime. But with its island restaurant, the park was a popular destination, and it did not go unnoticed that a 4'9", smartly attired Asian man was struggling to drag two large suitcases towards the lake. The unusual-looking man rested on a bench, falling asleep only to awake to see an elderly gentleman opening one of the bleeding suitcases. When the old man started to scream, the killer stood up and calmly walked away into the night. With the police arriving on the scene within minutes, Olivier Foll, deputy chief constable of the Paris CID, took charge of the case.
Eh bien, écoutez, la description de ce qui a été...
The description of what was found is horrible, because it was two suitcases found by passers-by and containing pieces of human body. It was appalling, nightmarish.
Des morceaux de corps humain découpés.
Là, on avait ôté de...
What was striking was that someone had removed flesh from some parts of the body. It was obvious, and that puzzled us.
Les premiers enquêteurs.
The police arranged for an autopsy. They quickly deduced that the victim had been shot in the back of the neck at point-blank range. But with the face badly mutilated, the corpse was impossible to identify.
All we knew about the victim is that it was a young woman.
Then, during the autopsy, they noticed that there had been post-mortem sexual intercourse.
With disturbing evidence of necrophilia and missing body parts, the police launched a major manhunt across Paris.
You guys can find me on Facebook. You can find me as Activate the Amygdala. You can find me pretty much on any podcast platform. Anything, you'll find me on anything there. You can Google me. I also have a website called Val's website, valswebsite.com, because it's the most clever name I could think of. You can find me on Instagram and amygdala_95. The same goes with my Twitter's also amygdala_95. You can also find me on Snapchat. Isn't working so far for me, so that's in the process at the moment. I have a Threadless. I have pretty much a store. You could buy merch. You could buy a shirt. You could buy a cool bed cover. Or you can buy a skateboard. Anything like that. If you want to go on my threadless.com/activatetheamygdala. Or you can Google it with Threadless. And you can use code FAM. F like Frank. A like Apple. M like Murder. 4889281 to get a discount off that. And that's all the things you could find me in.